Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with us to the book of Matthew in chapter 6. Continuing, we're going to try to finish up our thoughts on this section of Scripture, the 6th chapter, and particularly verses 25 through 34. But let's read it one more time, beginning with verse 25 of chapter 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And looking at this portion of Scripture, so far we have considered the thought, don't worry about the necessities. Which basically we could sum these whole verses up in that the necessities of life, or that's what he's been dealing with. But we went on to say, don't worry about the life and body. We looked at that last week. Don't worry about the life, your life, and your body. The next point that we looked at was, don't worry about food and shelter. Boy, all these things are common to us, and we worry about them. But he said, don't worry about them. Don't worry about your status in life. What one of you can add length of days to his life? And yet we're all concerned about status, our status in life. Well, we go on today with the thought and dealing with clothing. We've considered food and drink. Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Give us just today our daily bread. Give us today clothes. Don't worry about clothing. And as we've said before, the thought behind this and the thought behind worry and anxiousness is don't be consumed with the giving of these things. All these things are necessary to us, but don't be overly consumed with the getting of possessions. It's the thought of the context. That therefore, in verse 25, referring back to not laying up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. So, today in verses 28 through 30, he's talking about clothing. And why take ye thought for raiment? Why do you worry about raiment? Why are you anxious about raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Consider the lilies. Think upon them. Study them. Get to know them. All the plants of the field. Consider how they grow. Consider how they're clothed. They don't toil. They don't spin. They don't exhaust themselves at the spinning wheel to clothe themselves. All in an effort to have more and to look better. What do they depend on? What are you depending on? They depend on God's providence. They depend on God's providence for nourishing rain. For the sun. For the air. What part of the air? Air's got many different things to it. But the plant life, it draws carbon dioxide from the air. Well, where do they get that carbon dioxide? They draw carbon dioxide from the air. They expel oxygen. We take in oxygen and we expel carbon dioxide. That's how God's designed to take care of them and take care of us at the same time. They show forth the glory of God. And I have to go back to Psalms 19 again in my thoughts when I think of that. God's creation shows forth His glory. It testifies of a great Creator. His glory, His handiwork. They show forth the glory of God, our text says, better than did Solomon. And consider that, Solomon. What we know of Solomon from God's record. Solomon was a wise son, wasn't he? Well, he exercised wisdom in asking God for wisdom to lead the people of God, to rule over the people of God. And God said, because you've asked wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches and wealth as well. And he had kings from all lands and people from all lands coming to hear of his wisdom and to view his wealth and his riches. He was used of the Lord to build the temple. He built the palace. Solomon's palace. As well. And it was a magnificent sight. I mean, all for eyes to behold. But he had a weakness. And his weakness turned his heart from God. The lilies, the lilies of the field, show forth the glory of God better than Solomon did. Why? Because Solomon was a disobedient son, but not the lilies of the field, not God's creation. It does what God created it to do. Amen. So I'd ask you this morning, are you an obedient son or a disobedient? Are you doing what God created you to do? That's to show forth His glory. You see, the lilies fulfill their purpose today and tomorrow. They're gone. But while they live, they show forth the glory of God better than sinful man. Yes, we must labor. We must labor to put food on the table and clothes on our body and a roof over our head. But we're not to be consumed with that to the point of hoarding and laying up in store. We're told in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12 and verse 24, we read, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." These were the words of Solomon to the people of Israel. After that, Eli and his family met their destruction. Eli for allowing it to go on, and his sons for being so wicked and doing so wickedly. And Samuel said, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart." God wants all our heart. That goes back to the likeness of you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the things of this world. You got a divided heart. And God said, "You love the things of the world, you don't love me." 1 John chapter 2. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. In chapter 2. Verse 8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also." So you can say both men and women here. This is our responsibility. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, with broidered hair, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array." He said, "Clothe yourselves, ladies, We're modest apparel. You look up the word modest in the Greek and it means well-arranged apparel. Yes, your apparel should be clean and neat. But it should be that arrangement, not only that is clean and neat, but it should be an arrangement that is glorifies God. That is good behavior. That's what it means. An arrangement, well arranged, to goodly behavior. It should be clean and neat, and it should be of good behavior. Well, what is good behavior? Well, it said with shamefacedness. Well, that word shamefacedness in the Greek means reverence toward others. What you do ought to be well arranged and be of and look of good behavior. Your clothing ought to be a clothing of well arranged and of good behavior and with reverence towards others. In other words, something that's not going to lead others away into immodesty and immoral. And that's men and women. And men and women ought to be concerned with God and pleasing God and lifting up prayers unto God. First Peter chapter 3. Peter addressed it on like order concerning the wife who has an unsaved husband or a saved husband who has an unsaved wife. Says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 9 and 1 Peter 3 and 3 is exhorting us against over much ado over clothing and the fussing around. We'll spend more time on ourselves and on our bodies than we do upon the things of God. When I thought of this braiding of hair, and it means finally intertwining the hair, and you think of the time spent to finally intertwine it, and my mind immediately went to these dreadlocks. And if they don't, even if they go to a salon and have them glued on, they can buy them and have them glued on. The time spent to glue each one of those on there and place them just so. The time spent if they actually weave them together. How much time have you spent for the Lord? See, he's not telling us not to look nice. But he's telling us, look nice, but don't spend more time doing that than you spend for the Lord. Amen. Do enough so that you look nice and get yourself freed up to spend time for the Lord. Serving the Lord. We're to show forth the glory of God in all that we do. We ought to be concerned about showing forth God's glory in all that we do. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, he starts off by telling us to put to death the works of the flesh, basically is what it is. The old manner of life, the works of the flesh. And then he tells us to put on things, which would be after the spiritual man. And then look what he says in verse 16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents in all things. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That is, don't discipline them for no reason. Don't get after them for no reason. Sometimes as parents we can become very short and quick-tempered and the child hasn't done anything. But because of our own frustrations and what have you, we lash out at them. That's provoking them to wrath. Servants, in all things, obey your masters. Not as pleasing men, but as pleasing God. Doing it unto the Lord. Listen, when I came to grips with that, hey, even my working for this company, I'm to do it as unto the Lord. That changed my whole attitude and outlook on my work. And I began to have a good time at work. I was serving the Lord. Not Walmart. Not American Power Pole. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That word heartily? With the whole heart. With all your heart. As to the Lord and not unto men. You see, we too, as the plants of the field, are to fulfill our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God, to give praise and glory unto Him, and then we're gone. We're gone out into eternity. Think about that. We're not living forever on this earth. Right now. And one day, we're going to fall asleep in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What it said concerning the Christian who dies. He's fallen asleep in the Lord. They're going to lay this body in the grave, in the ground. Consider that. Are our days upon this earth spent in glorifying God? Or is it serving ourselves? Serving men. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 24 and 25 remind us, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, he finished up his thought. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And then he takes us into the thought of, for as the grass withereth and falleth away, so do we. James, think of it, James said, our life is but a vapor. Here today, going tomorrow. Therefore, we ought not to say, I'm going to do this or that. We ought to say, if the Lord will, I'll do this or that. Turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 49. Book of Psalms in chapter 49 and verse 17. Says concerning, well, let's read verse 16 with that. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich. Don't be concerned that one is made rich and you're not. When the glory of his house is increased, don't be concerned with that. Don't be taken up with that. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. You see, it says it's just his glory. That's all the wealth that Solomon had. That was just his glory. And he didn't take a bit of it with him. And he told us in Ecclesiastes. He came to the realization he wasn't going to take any of it with him. He said, I'm just going to leave it to my children, and who knows whether they'll be wise or not with it. Who knows how he'll take care of it and how he'll spend it. We're to trust God's providence. We're to be happy with God's providence. Consider this, child of God. He took care of Israel in the wilderness. Did he not? He took care of Elijah in the time of famine. And in the wilderness. Elijah was in the famine and he was in the wilderness. He fed the 5,000. And another time, he fed the 4,000. With just a little bit of nothing. And he fed that many. And by the way, those scriptures concerning the 5,000 and the 4,000, that was the number of men. And then make sure to let you know that besides women and children. So how many thousand were present? He takes care of his saints.
Amen.
He takes care of his people. And we're given that promise, given that assurance in the book of Philippians chapter 4 in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Moving on. He tells us in verses 31, 32 of our text, basically, don't be as the world. He said, for all these things the Gentiles do seek. This is common with the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the heathen, the unsaved, are consumed with these things. And boy, their ways have crept right in to the church of God. To the children of God. Have they not? It's so easy to do, isn't it? We get to looking at what they've got, and we begin, when we do that, what happens? we begin to get dissatisfied with what God has provided for us and given us. And well, we're going to remedy that. And we're going to go out and get it. We're not to be consumed with food, drink, and clothing. And of course, along with that clothing is shelter. That takes in not only the clothing of the body, but the shelter that we need from the elements. The true disciples of Christ, he says, are to be different from the world. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. After all these things does the world seek after. Those who are not children of God. Don't be like them. They're wrapped up in the things of the world. We're to be different. We're not to be working ourselves to a frazzle for things. When we do that, we're not exhibiting a faith in God, a trust in Him to provide and to sustain us. Consider this. They're without Christ. They're aliens to the things of God and His promises. The promises of God we have. The promises of God aren't to them, but it's to us. Scripture tells us that they have no hope. Lord willing, I may preach on the blessed hope at the conference at Park Ridge Tuesday morning. They're without God. See, but we're not strangers to God. We're not aliens. We're not without Christ. We have God. He's our Father. And teaching us to pray, our Father in heaven. Heaven's our home. We're going to be with Him.
Amen.
We're to be like God wants us to be. Turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 and reading verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Notice that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That song we sang, Brother Mike was going to have us cut out the third verse, and then he had us sing the third verse. I'm glad he did, because it provoked the thought there, something to the effect of thinking always about Jesus. Wow. I love to think about Him, but I can't say I always think about Him. I can't say I meditate on it day and night. The psalmist said here, happy is the man that during the day is thinking about the law of God, the word of God. He's thinking about God, the things of God. And when he wakes up on his bed at night, he thinks about God. Boy, I don't know about that. I wake up at night, all I can think about is going to the bathroom and getting back in bed. And I like Brother Ron. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to use the bathroom, and then, well, stay up and has his devotions then, and then when he's done, then he goes back to bed. If I did that, I'd be up for the rest of the day, brother. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree. That's this man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the godly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of God and the word of God and the things of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's going to have all that he needs. All that God wants him to have. And there's another passage of Scripture, I think it's in the Psalms also, says when he's old, he's still going to be fruitful.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. That's glorious, isn't it? That's wonderful. Our Father's in heaven. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're in Christ and He's in us, we love the brethren. We know the promises of God, or at least some of them. And we claim them. And then we go to running after the things of the world. God's with us. We're not strangers to the things of God. But we're to be strangers and pilgrims in this world. The ways and the cares and the being consumed with these things, that's the way of the world. We're to be strangers to that, foreigners to that, aliens to that. That ought not to be our way of life. And just to remind you of what he said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the world. The question is, are you risen with Christ then? Then last, well, not lastly, but next, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. That is, the true disciples will be seeking first the kingdom of God. They'll be searching out the kingdom of God. Just in way of comparison, turn to chapter 3 of Matthew and look at verses 6 through 8. What is typical of the kingdom of God, those who are in the kingdom of God? It said in verse 5, it said, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. They were repentant, and they gave forth fruits meet of repentance, and that was the confession of their sins. Confessing their sins to God. Not to some man, but to God. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Bring forth fruits that are suitable, that show forth repentance, that you have repented. See? like these that were being baptized, they showed forth that they had repented. Why? Because their life was different. They were changed. Amen. They weren't seeking to hide their sins no longer. They were confessing them to God. What's involved in confessing our sins to God? Well, turning away from them. That's what's involved. We don't just say the same thing about our sins as God does. We turn away from them. And we abhor them. And we search out His righteousness. Seek His righteousness. I have no righteousness. So therefore, I'm seeking out His righteousness. And where do I find it? Right here. You see? The kingdom and the righteousness of the kingdom are the objects of this sermon of our Lord's. The kingdom of God is primary subject of the sermon, which is the kingdom which God is building. The righteousness thereof is the character of all those who are subjects in that kingdom. Let me ask you this morning, are you showing forth the righteousness of God? The true subjects, the true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are the ones that are in this kingdom. And they're showing forth the righteousness of God. And that's the basis of this sermon, which includes chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew. And we've seen much of it already. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, which wasn't a righteousness at all. It was their righteousness, which in the sight of God is filthy rags. Yes. We're to seek to fill up the kingdom of God. As subjects of His kingdom, we're to seek to fill up the kingdom. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, well, to whomsoever I please." No, that's not what He said. He said to every creature. We ought to be seeking an opportunity to always be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone in need. You know, I've talked to several people. And most everybody I talk to, well, they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, Brother Jesse and I was talking to a man the other day. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. But we continued the conversation, and in the course of conversation, we found out he had no idea what Jesus Christ did for him. Proceeded to try to tell him that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. It's not of any works that you can do. It's all what God did. Amen. What Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. And left him a couple good tracts to take and read. And he stuck them in his pocket. Sounded like he might read them. Eternal life for you, and what does it mean to be born again? Two excellent tracts. We as subjects of the kingdom are to seek to be righteous in our living. Not to be given over to the things of the world. Turn with me quickly to the book of Proverbs in chapter 2 and reading verses 1 through 9. Think upon these thoughts that were given here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. He's not talking about the knowledge and wisdom of this world. He's talking only about that wisdom and knowledge and understanding which comes from knowing God. And that's to those who fear the Lord. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. You see, that's what we ought to be seeking after. It said in the book of John in chapter 6 and verse 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. And that's what so many God's people are laboring for today. But for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You see, that which is revealed to us in the gospel, and it exceeds man's righteousness. That's the righteousness we're talking about. What's revealed to us in the gospel? The righteousness of God. And you can read Romans chapter 3, particularly verses 22 through the end of the chapter there. For it is inward. And it's not only inward, we know it's inward because, why? Because it's Godward. If it's not Godward, then you don't have it on the inside. That's what he told the scribes and the Pharisees. They were just hypocrites. They were play acting. They were pretending to be something they weren't. And you and I are to teach others to be righteous in their living as well. That's part of the Great Commission. Romans 28 and verse 20. That's the all things that we're to teach. Not only are we to teach them the truth of the gospel and to teach them the things of the church, but we're to teach them a holy and separated life, a righteous life before the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not Christ-like to be seeking the things of the world. That's basically what we get from verse 34. He said, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Boy, we have enough evil things to deal with today. We don't need to be looking ahead to tomorrow. We only have today. We're not assured of another day beyond today. We're only assured of the right here and now. We're not to be preoccupied with tomorrow and its affairs. Job said in Job chapter 27 and verse 8, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. About the last verse of Matthew chapter 24, said those are going to have their part. They're going to be cast away from the Father, and they're going to have their part with the hypocrites. You see, the hypocrite's end. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know God. He spends eternity in hell. Isaiah 41:10. How many of you know Isaiah 41:10? Everybody in Sunday school ought to raise their hands. They know Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because of that great promise in Isaiah 41:10. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Casting all your care, all your worries, all your anxieties upon Him. For He careth for you. He provides for you. He loves you, child of God. And He's going to provide for you. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing, brother.